141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Philippe Clement has been sacked 16 months into his Rangers reign. Saturday's 2-0 defeat to St Mirren was the final straw for the Ibrox board, despite backing from CEO Patrick Stewart just 5 days ago. Barry Ferguson has been put in interim charge and will be joined by Neil McCann, Billy Dodds and Alan McGregor. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah.
Yes, as you say, Andrew, Philippe Clement gone, his backroom team gone with him. In come Barry Ferguson, Neil McCann, Billy Dodds, Alan McGregor. I think Andy Halliday's the only ex-chair not involved in the backroom team. A new era starts at Rugby Park on Wednesday night. They all return to Ibrox on Saturday to take on Andy and Motherwell. And then it's Jose Mourinho in Istanbul. And all of that before we decide, was it in? Was it out? Was it in? Was it out? I think we've got a few Celtic callers tonight. We're on to 4 in the morning.
I thought it was going to be the first Monday in a long, long time we're going to be talking about a Celtic defeat, but Rangers managed to trump that the next day. Later on that day, we had a really poor performance and a really poor result against St Mirren, and ultimately that led to Philippe Clement losing his job after 16 months in charge.
Yeah, I'm not sure anyone would have thought that this is what we'd be talking about. Barry Ferguson, the new interim manager of Rangers, did that catch you both by surprise when that first started coming out?
Yes. Listen, it did. When Clement went, we knew it would be an interim manager put in. I think it's the right thing to do. I think it buys the Rangers board a bit of time to get the appointment correct this time. The domestic season has gone. Unless there's some miraculous turnaround, they're not going to win the Europa League. They've done well in Europa League, but they won't win it. So there's no real need to rush in a permanent appointment. I think we all knew a caretaker was coming in. I don't think many of us thought it was going to be the team that have been put in charge.
Did it maybe feel like the end of days for Philippe Clement after Saturday's result, or were you maybe still a bit surprised just given what Patrick Stewart had said a few days beforehand?
No, there's been certain results over the last sort of month or two where you felt as if his days were numbered, but then it certainly, for me, it got to a point where you just felt like he's going to be there at the end of the season. I think obviously with the takeover talks coming out the woodwork, he'll probably be in charge through the summer, and you'd imagine then that Rangers will part ways. But after the Queen's Park job, I think even, you know, managers with credit in the bank don't get away with results like that. It seems as if he was, and he was getting another vote of confidence. But then obviously, you know, Saturday's performance and results saved the deal.
I don't think you need any encouragement whatsoever. However, 1-0-1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5 on the phones. What do you make of A, Philippe Clement's sacking, the timing of it after that backing just 5 days ago from CEO Patrick Stewart? Maybe more importantly, what about the interim appointment of Barry Ferguson and those three other ex-players, Neil McCann, Billy Dodds, Alan McGregor, all joining him as well? They'll be in the dugout for Wednesday's game away to Kilmarnock. What do you make of it, Rangers fans? 0141 951 1025. When you get your calls in, or while you get your calls in, we'll do the Monday awards. We can rattle through these very quickly. What about result of the weekend, Roger?
Well, I was there for Super Scoreboard on Saturday at Ibrox. You find sometimes when Celtic and Rangers lose games, the teams that beat them don't get any credit. It's all about the own firm crisis. But let's give credit to Stephen Robinson, St Mirren. It was the third anniversary of his appointment at St Mirren. He's had two top six finishes. He's heading for a third top six finish, and they thoroughly deserved the 3 points at Ibrox.
Well, I'll give credit to the side in Edinburgh that done the job on the other side in Glasgow, and I'll go for Hibs. It's just been a remarkable turnaround that David Graney's men are on. Again, another manager got a vote of confidence early on in the season. Since then, they've went on a, like I said, an incredible run, 13 game unbeaten streak, and thoroughly deserved it, especially for the first half performance.
Goal of the weekend, Andy?
I'm going to go for Simon Murray. It didn't count for much, obviously, with him losing the game. But what a fantastic hit. He's not known for raspers or colours for outside the box. Simon Murray's more a penalty box striker, but great finish.
And listen, I felt sorry for David Friel on Saturday morning, having to go all the way to Dingwall for Ross County against Dundee. But he's got the two best goals of the weekend, Andrew. Simon Murray's, I agree with Andy. What about Akil Wright? Big defender coming up and doing that in the box. Spectacular scissors kick. They are going very well, Ross County.
Hopefully it makes my job easier when I'm putting the weekend schedule together, and David Friel can't wait to rush back to Dingwall after that. It'd be nice.
They are at home to Kilmarnock this Saturday, just saying.
Howler of the weekend, Roger?
I think it has to be Philippe Clement, doesn't it? If you're coming back to Ibrox 13 days after the worst home result in 150 years. What you don't need is a performance like that or a result like that. I spoke to him after the game and he just looked a defeated man. He was almost inviting the Rangers board to sack him, and 24 hours later they did.
We usually try and not double up and go in the same club or the same stadium or what it may be for our howlers, but I'm just going for Rangers as a whole. Yes, Philippe Clement, you know, I've been pretty vocal how I felt in terms of watching his style of play since he's been in charge at Rangers, but listen, players need to take accountability as well, and the performance that they gave at the weekend was poor.
Top performer, top man of the weekend. I don't think you're both going to agree on a Rangers choice for that.
Well, I'm doubling up again. I'm going back to Leith, which I can't believe, and I'm going to go for Rocky Bashiri. I think he's been a bit of an enigma since his permanent signing at Hibs. You know, quite often you see him at fault for goals, some lack of concentration, poor 5-10 minutes in spells. But I think for the last 2 or 3 months he's been so consistent, playing in the middle of the back three at the weekend against Celtic. I thought he was excellent. Marshall in the back five, starting attacks as well, and obviously clearing one off the line after an 80-yard dash back as well. So he's been really good.
Well, you go for Rocky, I'll go for Elton. Elton Kabangu, what a start to his Hearts career. I think that's 7 goals. He's scored more since he came in January than Lauren Shankland's got all season. 2 again at Perth yesterday, 7 for the season. Hearts up to 7th in the league, and he will file them into the top 6 before the split.
There we go, a quick fire review of the weekend from Roger and Andy. But there is only one story in town at the moment to start off with, and it is of course the sacking of Philippe Clement. It is the interim appointment of Barry Ferguson, Neil McCann, Billy Dodds and Alan McGregor. We want to know what you think of it. 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to Joe, who's a Rangers fan in Cambus Lang. Joe, how are you?
Yeah, good evening panel.
Hi Joe.
Happy with Clement being sacked, but I've also got a lot of sympathy with the man. I've been on this show many times and calling for him to go, but I think, as I've said many times on this show, I think the guy was sold something that didn't exist, and I think there's a lot of other people who need to take responsibility at Rangers for what happened. I think what's happened today with the announcement of Barry Ferguson, McGregor, Dodds and McCann, I think that's the board being very, very obvious. I think they've been clever. They're trying to pull the wool over the Rangers fans' eyes and getting everybody excited because we're bringing back a couple of legends and another couple of great players that played for Rangers. But this, for me, all goes back to, again, the summer. Who decided to give Clement an extended contract? This man should have been out the door months ago. Months ago. That performance on Saturday, as you guys quite rightly said, let's take nothing away from St Mirren. I mean, I was at the game. We left after 83 minutes because I couldn't watch anymore. But St Mirren were excellent. The 2 goals they took were excellent, and they thoroughly deserved their win, as did Queen's Park a couple of weeks ago. Rangers Football Club right now, pains me to say it, is rotten from top to bottom. Rotten. And there's a lot of people there that need to take a long, hard look at themselves. Not just Philippe Clement, because he's been the scapegoat, but I do believe he lost the dressing room. I do believe some of the stuff he was saying after the games was just absolute nonsense. But that man, I've got sympathy with the man. I mean, he's a human being. I've got sympathy for the fella because he's been sold a lame duck. What he was told, he alluded to it several times in interviews, what he was told he was getting compared to what he actually got was night and day. The recruitment's been shocking. That boy, Barami, if he gets a game, then so can I, and I'm 45. So, I mean, I'm really, okay, we've brought in Barry Ferguson, we've brought in McGregor, Dodds and McCann today. That's fantastic, but we're playing for nothing. As Roger said, we're still in the Europa League. We're not going to win it. We're not going to win it. We're out both cups. Celtic aren't going to drop 13 points. And we've just brought them in just to basically, it'll be nice. They'll do some nice interviews. It'll get posted on the club channels. We're bringing back the legends and all the rest of it. It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. We're going to get to the summer. Umpteen players will leave. The season ticket holders will pay all the money that we normally do and the My Jails nonsense. And then when they release 4 or 5 strips, now a 5th strip, a 4th strip, all the rest of it. What are we going to do in the summer? Is there going to be money for a rebuild? Because for us to attract a manager to take us anywhere, we need to have the funds available. Right now, you could bring in Guardiola, Conte and Mourinho as his assistants and they could do nothing with that squad that's in play right now. Nothing. On Saturday, they were devoid of ideas. They didn't look interested. They looked as if they didn't know what they were doing. Now, whether you blame Clement for that, but as Andy Halliday said, a lot of the players need to take a long, hard look at themselves. A long, hard look at themselves.
Yeah, Roger, Joe is alluding to the fact that, you know, sacking the manager isn't just going to magically fix everything for Rangers, but did it feel as if this kind of had to be the time to do it? And also, just on that other point, Patrick Stewart mentioned it in his quotes today. He said it is more than just the manager that is the problem at Rangers. Philippe Clement alluded to it as well, saying that, you know, maybe some things at the club weren't what he thought when he first came in. I think a lot of supporters maybe feel the same, that there is a lot more that needs to be fixed at Rangers than just this, what's happened over the past day.
Listen, Joe ticked just about every box there from start to finish. An awful lot has gone wrong at Rangers for an awful long time. I know what people mean. You say, you know, you can't just keep sacking managers, but when a manager loses at home to Queen's Park in the manner that Philippe Clement did, when the manager loses at home to St Mirren in the next home game in the manner in which Philippe Clement did, when the players, there was no fight, there was no spirit, there was no comeback. I'm surprised Joe lasted to 83 minutes on Saturday, because most of his fellow Rangers fans were long gone by 70 minutes when the second goal went in, because there was no chance of Rangers coming back into the game. You know, Kevin Clancy could have blown the whistle at 70 minutes, because the Rangers players just wanted to hear that whistle and get back into the dressing room. Clement has been unable to inspire them to anything since that Old Firm win at the start of January. That is increasingly looking like a flash in the pan, that performance. And I'll be fascinated now to see if the new management team can get more from that group of players, or, as Joe said, the group of players just aren't good enough.
A lot of Rangers fans, Andy, had been calling for the sacking of Philippe Clement, not just after this result at the weekend, but for a long time now. You felt that there would be, you know, celebration, the right word, a lot of happy Rangers fans when that point happened. But I feel just what's happened since in terms of the interim appointments, there's been quite a mixed review, if that's the right word to say, in terms of who Rangers and the Rangers board have decided to replace Philippe Clement until the end of the season.
Yeah, well, that's because Patrick Stewart, and quite rightly, pointed out that it's the foundations as well at Rangers Football Club. It's not just obviously the figurehead and the manager and the playing squad. It's everyone as a whole that has to improve if they're going to catch Celtic. And again, I say that loosely, because, you know, if Joe talked about Philippe Clement not having the hands he's dealt with to compete with Celtic, if you're using Rangers as a barometer to Celtic, then that's fair enough. But Philippe Clement had more at his disposal to beat St Mirren away, to beat St Mirren at home, to beat Queen's Park at home, to beat my own Motherwell away. He still didn't do enough with what he was given. I spoke to a couple of friends about it today as well. I think over his 16-month tenure, I don't know if you can talk about many players that he's improved over in his time here as well. I think the product of the football that's been on the pitch, you know, Roger just alluded to the amount of fans leaving after 80 minutes, that's been a constant theme throughout games this season, even in games they've won. The 1-0 at home to Hearts at Ibrox, the 1-0 at home to Hibs at Ibrox, the product on the pitch hasn't been good enough. And Joe started the call by saying he has sympathy for Philippe Clement. It goes without saying, I think all three of us have sympathy for Philippe Clement. You'll have sympathy for anyone that loses your job, but ultimately you've got to say that you feel as if it's came to the right conclusion today. And in terms of, you know, hiring, you know, 4x professionals at Rangers, when you're hiring, you know, interim staff, you're either hiring within to what's there, or you're dealing with a very small pool, a shortlist of people that are going to come for 3 months to steady a ship, be under loads of scrutiny and pressure in that 3 months, ultimately knowing that a new manager's going to get appointed in the summer anyway. So I think it's a positive thing interim staff.
If we could just tackle another point, Joe made a very good point about the contract extension that Philippe Clement was given at the start of the season. You need to remember the backdrop to that. Now, the backdrop to that was Rangers couldn't play at Ibrox because of the delays in the work in the Copeland Road stand. The fans weren't happy. They were playing at Hampden, some not great away results. The fans weren't happy. And the board at Rangers decided that it would be good news to give Philippe Clement this contract extension. Now, that's one bad decision, i.e. the Hampden delays, compounded by another bad decision, the contract extension for Philippe Clement, compounded by a third bad decision, which was Patrick Stewart saying last Wednesday that they want to keep Clement and back Clement. It's just been a mistake after a mistake after a mistake behind the scenes. And as long as those mistakes continue, it doesn't matter whether it's Philippe Clement, Barry Ferguson or Andy Halliday in charge of the Rangers first team, they won't succeed.
Is there another question mark over the decision to appoint a new assistant manager on a long-term deal last month when Philippe Clement was under pressure, knowing that this might come along. Semi Shirai is now part of the Rangers interim staff. Was that something I remember at the time that there was maybe a few question marks over that decision?
They lost a member of the backroom staff, didn't they? Once you hadn't properly replaced. That was a name I was hoping you would say, and I wouldn't have to. So when Shirai came in, didn't really think much of it. It'll be interesting to see the dynamic between him and the four guys who have come in the door today. But having been at Ibrox on Saturday, Andrew, and having watched the Queen's Park game on television, the one thing I can guarantee you is it can't get any worse.
Well, thank you to Joe. Graham is a Rangers fan up next in Easter House. What are you making of it all, Graham?
I'm delighted away, mate. As a boy said there, they feel sorry for him. He's sold a pup. But that board, really, for years have been making decisions that have been poor. Letting Pulisic and Arfield leave and keeping Jack and Roof, who were always injured. Letting Olsen go and bring in Proper. Who thought he was better than? And then Saturday, bullied all over the park, mate. They were terrified of him. They were all big boys, and Rangers players were terrified of him. They'll not get out with Barry Ferguson in the dugout. They'll go. They'll have heart. They might know. I don't think it'll improve a great deal, because the players aren't good enough. But with Ferguson, they'll give 100%, or they'll know all about it. That's the thing I think about Ferguson coming in.
It's something you quite often hear when things maybe aren't going right at a football club, that supporters or other people will say that they might need an ex-player in there, someone who knows what it takes. Is that something that really does have an effect on the players, Andy? Have you noticed that before? Does the modern footballer, maybe the modern footballer that's not from Scotland, will it mean a whole lot to them that a former captain in Barry Ferguson is there, that Neil McCann, Billy Dodds, Alan McGregor are there?
I think it can make a difference. It can make a small difference, but I think what's more important is your identity as a group, you know, your style on the pitch, you know, what you're putting into training grounds every day. And, you know, I've worked with Barry Ferguson. He was my manager at Blackpool as well, and what I will say is he'll certainly be putting standards on these players every single day, which is extremely important as well. But equally as important as your dressing room, you know, I just spoke with Roger before the show, and you know, when I was a younger player growing up, I think, you know, the manager was in control of a whole lot, whether that be the dressing room or fine systems or anything it may be. I think now, especially over the last 5-10 years, it's all player police. It's all kept within your dressing room. It's all driven. Standards are driven by your dressing room. So yes, you can come in, you can put standards on the training pitch, but that's got to be within your team as well, and within your group. And you know, we had same callers last year when Michael Beale left with the appointment of Alec Ray. You know, he's been at Rangers, he knows what it's like. He's just lost his job today as well. So again, it's not the be all and end all. Can it make a difference? We'll soon see.
It is a bit of a step into the unknown as well, because Barry Ferguson has never managed at this level before. The coaches that he's got in with him, Alan McGregor, hasn't held a role at a club in a coaching sense either.
No, it will be very interesting to see how it is. I think there needed to be change. I was in Paisley on Friday, the eve of the game, and I spoke to Stephen Robinson, and I can scarcely remember a manager of a smaller team, I'm not doing Down St Mirren because they were outstanding on Saturday, a manager so confident that he could go to Ibrox and get a result. He was, and I mentioned, I used the word after, you maybe hear it in the interview, after the game, he was bullish. He fancied it. He wanted to go to Ibrox. He felt they could go and win, having beaten the Rangers on Boxing Day in Paisley. And when it gets to that stage and opposition managers are thinking, well, we can go here and win, then, you know, other managers will think the same, other players will think the same. The kind of aura that was once around Rangers at home games at Ibrox has gone. And Barry Ferguson and his backroom staff need to get that back. They need to make other teams worried about Rangers again, because the fear factor had gone completely. Everybody fancied playing against Rangers.
Well, thank you to Graham. Still plenty of time to get your calls in. 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
A lively start to tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and we're only just getting started. Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday here to take your calls. And in the last 24 hours, Philippe Clement has been sacked as Rangers manager. Barry Ferguson brought in as the interim head coach until the end of the season. Let's stick with the phones and speak to John, who's a Rangers fan in Maryhill. How are you, John?
Guy, good evening, guys. Thanks for having us on again.
No problem.
don't know where to begin here, but the appointments, for me, it's like a pantomime show. No disrespect to the guys that have been Rangers legends, but it's a pantomime show. It's absolutely poor that they've put these guys in this position. You've got Kevin Thompson, who, my understanding, is a great coach, great knowledge, back in with the youth, could have easily stepped in there.
John, just out of interest, what do you feel the difference is between Kevin Thompson, Barry Ferguson, Billy Dodds, Neil McCann is specifically? Because it's not as if he has any more, you know, vastly, you know, managerial experience compared to the rest of them, does he?
Well, I've watched games at Clyde, and all Barry Ferguson seems to do is shout and bawl and swear at players, and just doesn't make sense. But again, they're legends of the club, but I don't think it was the right appointment. Personally, and this is what I'm touching, that nobody's brought in. We had Vanny Van Bronckhorst and Steven Gerrard. These guys didn't get a chance. These guys were false promises, promised that they'd get this and that, and now they're in a position. We'll get Clement in for 16 months. He's probably been a scapegoat, what the other caller said, false promises, and now they're reverting to bringing Rangers legends back to run the club to the end of the season.
What would you have done, John, in this position with Philippe Clement leaving? What would you have liked to have seen the club do instead?
Well, it'd have been better getting the job to Big Marvin. He might have done something, and I'm being sarcastic when I say that, but I think Kevin Thompson, what I've been speaking about, I think the boy's got, through what I understand, got a great knowledge of the game. He's been at Ibrox for years. He was a player. And from what I was told, he's a very good coach. So I would have gave him the job and then worked round about him. That's what I would have done personally. I don't know what the viewers think. I don't know what you guys think, but that's my views.
What do you make of, or what do you think was the thought process behind specifically those players being chosen to, or former players being chosen to come in and make up the interim staff? Is it quite hard to tell?
Well, I think Patrick Shearer's probably chasing the popularity vote. You know, he, as the first caller Joe said, you know, it's four Ibrox legends coming back into the club. The season in terms of league title cups has gone, Andrew. So they'll just need people to guide the team through really to the end of the season, because they couldn't carry on with Philippe Clement. So that's why they've gone. They really have gone for the popularity vote, in the hope that the fans buy into it at a time when the fans are really disenchanted with the whole place. You know, you saw them pouring out of the stadium. I think I was sending you pictures 5 minutes to go in the game on Saturday, and the three stands, as I was looking out from the main stand, were deserted. You know, unprecedented how few people were there, and they only stayed behind to boo. So at a time when season ticket renewals aren't too far away, and I know Joe was trying to be sarcastic at the start, but only half sarcastic when he was talking about the fourth strip and the fifth strip. You know, Rangers rely on the generosity of their fans buying season tickets, buying merchandise, buying MyGel subscriptions, buying this, buying that, and supporters at the minute are not predisposed to do that. And I think Patrick Shearer thought, if I bring four legends back to the club, it might buy me a bit of popularity with the fans, and hopefully it might kickstart something in the team. I was actually surprised they've gone for four external guys. The easiest thing to be, and I can tend to agree with John, you know, Issam Charaib is there, Kevin Thompson's there, Brian Gilmer's there. There are a lot of people. They could have kept Colin Stewart, even if it was just to the end of the season, and sort of taken the team through. But he clearly wants to chase that popularity vote, and in the hope that it can kickstart the team.
How tough do you think that process will have been for Patrick Stewart and the Rangers board over the last day? Because there's obviously time constraints to it, as you alluded to earlier on. It's not as if they have decided that it's going to be an interim team until the summer. It's not as if they've got a vast pool to choose from.
Yeah. But for that respect, it may have been pretty easy, because, like he says, it wasn't a whole list to choose from. And to be honest, I get the feeling that the phone call to Barry Ferguson wasn't that long. I'd imagine he jumped at the chance to come back and try steady the ship and show a bit of guidance from now to the end of the season. And again, Kevin Thompson, another one I've worked with, I've played with, I've been on the coaching side with at times as well. Great guy, great knowledge of the game, and I was half expecting him to be involved as well. But I think that seems to be the role that Neil McCann's got. You know, again, someone I've not worked with, but heard that he's very good on the grass from his time at from Dundee. So knowing Barry Ferguson, if he can be that figurehead and he can be that disciplinarian and someone's looking at the standards, and Neil McCann, Billy Dodge and Cher, I sort of sharing that coaching duty, then I'm sure that would be fine.
If you look at it, if you take a step back, Alan McGregor has a good relationship with Jack Butland, so they clearly think, you know, they'll be able to work together. Neil McCann, as you say, was a top flight manager with Dundee. He's an experienced guy, a talented coach. Billy Dodge at Inverness in the Scottish Cup final less than 2 years ago, so there's no doubt in his credentials. And at the head of it, Patrick Stewart is appointing a man who was captain of Rangers when they won a treble, has had two spells of huge on-field success, worked under some of the great managers of the modern era, Dick Advocaat, Alec McLeish, Walter Smith, and he believes he can bring that experience as a figurehead above Dodge, McCann, McGregor, and together they will be able to do a better job than Clement and his team.
Where is your optimism, John, that that interim management team will be able to do a better job than Philippe Clement in the next few months?
I've got no idea, but as I say, it wouldn't have been my option. You could even brought in Big Dunk and Ferguson, obviously sitting without a job. You could have brought in Big Dunk, as I say, Kevin Thompson. Again, these guys are legends. No disrespect to the McCanns at Dundee and whatever happened in Barry Ferguson, but I'm speaking as a Rangers fan, and I can't speak for everyone out there, but me personally, it's the wrong option. And that's all this is to do, is bring the fans in, pack the house, Ross sing and dance, we'll get four legends back in there, let's get the atmosphere up. It's absolute nonsense. Nonsense. It's completely wrong, and it's a pantomime show, and we're a laughing stock, to be quite honest with you.
Well, thank you to John. Let's stick with the phones. Craig is in Moody's Burn. Craig, what are you making of the news over the past 24 hours?
Could I just say I completely disagree with that guy John's last few sentences here. What I would say is, for me, it's starting to sink in, you know, when news broke 24 hours ago, and obviously Clement was still here 48 hours ago. That's how quickly the things moved. Initially, listen, Barry Ferguson was my hero growing up, like he was for a lot of people my age. And I've had the good fortune of meeting the guy a couple of times, and this, that and the other. They say never meet your heroes, but, you know, it was a great experience. But in terms of, it settled down for me today. You know, I thought it was just a kind of, you know, newspaper kind of story, because these things, you can take with a pinch of salt. But when I seen it this lunchtime, I was like, it makes sense for me. And I know it's a completely different set of circumstances, but what it kind of rings a bit of me to me is when Celtic brought in Neil Lennon, Alan Thompson and Mialbi. You know, after, I forget who their manager was at the time, but it was
Tony
Mowbray.
Tony Mowbray was sacked after a 4-0 defeat at St Mirren. Oddly enough, defeat to St Mirren.
Aye. But as I say, for me, I completely disagree. Kevin Thompson, you know, yes, there has been rumblings, but I think, you know, working with the academy for a few years and then see what happens with him. But Barry, I'm going to contradict myself here, right? But the one thing that's brilliant about it for me is Barry's passion. And Alan McGregor, they're not going to shy away from telling those players the home truths and in that dressing room. I'd love to be a wee fly in the wall, you know, if it's like a draw at half-time on Saturday at Ibrox. The flip side to that is, Barry got caught up in arguments with Alloa fans, you know, and that was Alloa, and he's, you know, it was on YouTube and this, that and the other. So I've got concerns about his, maybe not temperament, maybe that's the wrong word, but it's only to the end of the season. The season's gone. And it's to get a bit of pride back in the jersey and tell these players, you know, like I say, Neil McCann probably won't be shy in telling them as well. I've no idea what Billy Dodge is like as a, you know, a personality as such.
Oh, he won't be shy in telling them either, Craig, believe me.
well, you've got four in there, and as I say, that's been racking, you know, through my mind today at work and stuff like that, that Lennon, Thompson, Yalby thing. You know, and that worked quite well for Celtic, didn't it, to a certain extent. So,
Craig, can I just ask you a question? I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you, but is this not what fans were calling up saying when Alec Ray was appointed last year and joining the coaching staff of Philippe Clement?
It was. And to be honest with you, at the game, you know, I sit behind the dugout in the enclosure, and people are saying, what is it Alec Ray's actually doing? I don't think Barry, I don't think Neil McCann, and obviously, you know, McGregor better than me, but they're not going to be sitting in the dugout, you know, sitting with their arms folded chewing gum, you know, if Rangers aren't performing. What I said to the producer before I came on was, obviously with the guy Stewart leaving, the goalkeeping coach, I would like to see Alan McGregor kept on, you know, as a goalkeeping coach beyond the summer. You know, and if Barry, obviously it's not the Barry Ferguson show, he's obviously brought in Billy Dodds and Neil McCann to assist him, but I would actually like to see Barry, if it goes well and you can see he's, you know, learning, maybe depending who the new manager is in the summer, keep Ferguson as that kind of, you know, Alec Gray or, you know, Jonathan Johansson that we've had in the past to assist the new manager in the summer.
So funny one, Craig, as well, if you're Barry Ferguson tonight, you're not thinking that you're only getting this job to the summer.
No.
You, Neil McCann, Billy Dodds and Alan McGregor will think, right boys, if we can beat Celtic twice and get to a semi-final of the Europa League, Patrick Stewart won't be able to get rid of us. Could be a huge wave of support for us staying at the club beyond the summer.
Barry Ferguson's obviously had a lot of responsibility in the past. He's been a Rangers captain for years. How big a shock to the system do you think this might be, just compared to his previous managerial experience, to then going into the dugout at Ibrox and the responsibilities he's now going to have compared to those previous jobs?
Yeah, listen, there's loads of familiarities in the fact that he's been there as a player. He knows the expectations and he knows what to expect, but obviously can put a different in terms of a managerial sense. He's obviously dealing with, you know, bigger players, bigger egos, but you know, I think that's something that Barry Ferguson, the man, can handle. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Listen, it's interesting, Craig, saying if he does well, I'd like to see him, you know, a stay in charge compared to Jonathan Johansson and whatnot. I look at Alan McCoys as being that kind of example, but Alan McCoys had a Walter Smith. You know, so is that a case? At the end of the day, it's whoever's going to be that figurehead. They need to make sure that's the right job. And it's interesting when Patrick Stewart said in his vote of confidence, just, I think it was just under a week ago, that, you know, they can't keep going through this constant cycle of managers. They've got to get the foundation right. You're only going through the constant cycle of managers because you're making the wrong appointments. Yeah. So at the end of the day, Barry Ferguson, the interim team, will come out, steady the ship and see what happens. I think it's a good decision because ultimately it gives them that few months to get the right manager in.
It's funny, Craig touched on the Alloa situation. A couple of folk have spoken to me about Barry and Alloa today. I wonder if Barry Ferguson, oddly, might find it easier at Rangers, because I do wonder about players who are elite players in their careers going and managing at lower levels and being frustrated that the players are dealing with can't do the things that they used to do, or can't do the things that their teammates at Rangers and Birmingham and Blackpool and Blackburn and teams couldn't do. You know, big Duncan Ferguson got a mention there. I'm sure he had that frustration in his brief spell at Inverness. So maybe Barry will find it easier managing players who are of a similar level to he was when he played the game.
There was maybe a bit of a surprise just given how many names were announced today in terms of ex-players, but could that help in a sense that there are, you know, in terms of shared responsibility, it is four guys that all know each other, that it might just make it easier for the four of them to work together and can delegate and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I was beginning to panic for the future of the show because I thought Gordon Dale, Fraser Wishart and Andy Halliday's names were going to get mentioned in the end. I thought, how are we going to get shows out this week?
Well, how many folk would have had to say no for you to get that call, Andy?
Too many to mention before 8 o'clock.
But listen, I think when Barry Ferguson is clearly the key to all this. Patrick Stewart wanted to speak to Barry Ferguson. He has been appointed head coach, and I think it's then up to Barry to put together the ones that he wants to go in with. Barry, as I said a minute ago, will believe that if things go well for him, the club won't be able to put him out in the summer. He can do what Neil Lennon did at Celtic. Neil Lennon was an interim manager when he first went in when Tony Mowbray was sacked, and he did so well that he got the job. So Barry will believe he can go in. But if you're going in to that situation wanting to earn the job on a permanent basis, you want to take in people that you trust and can help do the job alongside you. And that's why Neil McCann, Billy Dodds, Alan McGregor are in.
Well, thank you to Craig. Still lots of time to get your points across. 0141 951 1025. And while you get your calls in, let me tell you about this.
Oh my God.
Win £400,000.
Brilliant stuff, man.
Yeah, how does that sound? This is your chance to win a life-changing £400,000. All you need to do is text YES to 61025. Texts are £2.50 plus your standard network rate. Entries on our website cost the same amount. Or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are at Clyde1.com. Don't miss out. Lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday. Answer our call and £400,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account. How easy is that? So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday taking your calls on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. What's that, less than 24 hours on from the sacking of Philippe Clement, and of course the big announcement today that Barry Ferguson will take interim charge of Rangers alongside the likes of Neil McCann, Billy Dodds and Alan McGregor. We want to hear your thoughts on that or on anything else. 0141 951 1025. Gary is up next. How are you, Gary?
Evening, gents. How are we? All right?
How are you, Gary? Thank you.
I just wanted to say I've been on a good few times saying get rid of Clement, get rid of him. He's lost the dressing room, all that. But I watched the stuff on social media where I'm leaving the stadium. It was difficult. I actually felt sorry for the guy. I'll be honest with you. I've been on loads of times, told you that, get him out. But watching him leaving, the way he was treated was shocking, absolutely shocking. I just actually felt sorry for him, to be honest with you. I thought he was just sold an absolute... led up a garden path, basically, you know. But he's the one that picks the teams. I watched the games with the Queen's Park and the result against St Mirren and stuff. And they players that were out there were shocking, disgusting. No one of the fans were just leaving the stadium. I don't know, the guy said the 80th minute. I seen him leaving at half-time. It was so bad.
Yeah, ultimately, the manager will always take responsibility in these situations, but how much of a responsibility do the players have now to really step up? And
They don't always take responsibility, you know. Sometimes they just try and ride it out. Listen, Gary, football's it can be a cruel business at times. You know, you see managers losing their jobs all the time. There was Chris Doolan at Partick last week. Stuart Kentwell walked away from that Motherwell job with Andy the other week. It happens all the time. Unfortunately, it's happened to Philippe Clement yesterday. But, you know, when you get to Philippe Clement's level, even sacked managers are richly rewarded financially. And I think you'll find Philippe Clement will go back to the continent. He will tell people he had 16 months at Rangers. He won a trophy. He was working under circumstances where he had to drastically bring down the wage budget. One of the callers earlier on said, you know, whoever thought Robin Proper was a better player than Conor Goldson? The answer is nobody thought that. But Robin Proper's a cheaper player than Conor Goldson. That's why he's at a football club now. And, you know, Jeffrey's a cheaper player than Borna Barisic. I would imagine the lads who are in the centre or midfield are cheaper players than John Lundstrom. So that was the circumstances in which he was working. He will go back, he will apply for jobs, he will get jobs, and he may well be successful elsewhere.
When it comes to the players, you'd imagine when any manager is sacked, there will be mixed reactions to it. And then it's always interesting to see the reaction afterwards, because there may be some players that weren't particularly happy with the regime that was in place. There may be some players that will feel they're responsible for a man losing his job, and there's a lot they need to do going forward.
Yeah, 100%. And listen... The unfortunate thing for these current players is Barry Ferguson, Neil McCann and Billy Dodds would have watched a lot of Rangers Football Club over the last few months. So what the players have put on product on the pitch, they've been watching, they've been seeing. And the fact of the matter is they need to get a reaction out of them. But, you know, for all players, you always say it's a clean slate when new people come in. But listen, for what we watched at the weekend, Rogers mentioned that a couple of times, I've not had the chance to yet, but Stephen Robinson, these men were excellent, fully deserved the victory. I thought they were outplayed, outfought. And I've got to say, I thought Philippe Clement was outcoached. It was simple as that. I thought Stephen Robinson set up his men perfectly. You know, they didn't come to Ibrox and sit on the edge of the box and time for straight. You know, you can see any sideward passes, any backwards passes, they jumped on it, they latched on it, they forced Rangers into errors, and they ultimately got the job done.
Is it ridiculous to think Stephen Robinson could be a contender to be the next permanent manager of the Rangers? Man who took Motherwell to two cup finals in the same season in the top six, managed taking St Mirren potentially to three consecutive top six finishes to European football for the first time in 37 years.
I don't think it's ridiculous to say that a better job, without meaning disrespect towards St Mirren, is not deserving of Stephen Robinson. The question I would put to you, would Rangers fans be happier?
No,
Stephen Robinson being
Rangers
appointed?
Rangers fans wouldn't be happier with the St Mirren manager being appointed. No, they wouldn't. But I actually think the point you made about him out coaching Philip Clement at the weekend was absolutely correct.
A lot of the assumption at the moment as well is that a takeover is going to take place, and that the shots will be called by 49ers Enterprises and the main figures there. You just wonder what direction they would want to go down as well.
Yeah, 100%. And they will have a big say. I think this takeover deal is close. I would imagine it will be concluded before the end of the season. They will come in and, a bit like Jim Ratcliffe at Manchester United, they will want their own people in, and not just their own people in the dugout. I think they'll want their own people right the way through the football club, the same way they've done at Leeds United. So that will dictate the next step. And I don't think it's coincidence that, doesn't matter whether it's Barry Ferguson or anyone else, I don't think it's coincidence that the interim management team have been put in until the end of the season, rather than, you know, for a game or two. What's the point in having them in for a game or two, appoint a permanent manager, and then 49ers Enterprises come in and dismiss him and put their own man in?
And there needs to be a sporting director that comes in as well.
I was just about to touch on that as well, Andrew. Yeah, I think it's so important that, you know, whoever this new sporting director is part of this process, because, you know, Rangers need some terms of continuity. If it's not from the managers, it has to be in terms of the style. They can't keep recruiting players to play a certain style of football and in 16 months time get rid of a different manager. There's somebody else that comes in with a completely different style, and it's that whole new turnover of players. So I think the sporting directors should forefront whatever the appointment of the next manager is going to be. But again, touched on that previously, I think you'll struggle to name, you know, more players in one hand how many players at Philippe Clement's improved. I think there's players there, to be honest. I know people have been questioning the recruitment. I do think there's the same amount of squad depth that Celtic have? No. Do I think there's the same amount of quality Celtic have? No. But I think there's a handful of players that they can improve.
Gary, what do you make of the interim appointments?
Well, it's funny, I was just thinking about it as the guys were talking there. Bringing in McGregor, right? Good goalkeeping coach. Barry Ferguson, centre-half, centre-midfield. Neil McCann on the left, and Billy Dodds up front. That's basically what we need, apart from a left-back as well. But, I mean, I would play these guys on Wednesday night, I'm telling you. Because these guys are... That's the positions we need strong at the back, definitely. But I was watching the game, and Butland was—he had more touches than the boys up front. With his feet, he passes it out to Jeffrey on the left. Jeffrey ran up, got to the midfield, got to the halfway line, turned around, and then passed it all the way back to Butland. And it's just like, what he's doing?
I wonder if a few of the younger players are needing a rest, to be honest with you, because they're beginning to show signs that their form's dipping with the malaise of the team. I wonder if Jeffrey and Siala, Egerman, might all get a rest the next couple of games, because they're beginning to shade off. And Siala, very poor at both goals. I wonder if Suter's not fit, whether you might see Rafa Fernandez at the weekend. It's a Wednesday night, I should say. I wonder if you might see Ridvan Yilmaz instead of Jeffrey. And I wonder if, you know, Egerman might just drop out, and either Barami or Lawrence might come into that sort of number 10 role.
It almost sounds as if you were going to go down a sports scientist pothole there.
Oh, no. Nothing to do with sports. No. Purely form, and the fact that for these three guys, this is, in their careers, this is their first season of playing at this level, and they're just beginning to sign up, you know, show signs of dipping.
Well, what I will say, if they are going to get replaced, Gary, I don't think that Billy Dodds can last the 90, so that might only be the last 20
minutes. He was sitting
minutes
along for me at Ibrox on Saturday. I was in the Super Scoreboard seat. He was in a BBC Scotland seat. And I didn't realise he was working undercover.
Well, thank you to Gary. A busy night on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but we've always got time to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Always a tough night on a Monday with Roger and Andy, but maybe you fancy your chances. So 4141 951 1025, get your call in before 7 o'clock and you could be taking on one of these two.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the second hour of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Lots of opinions so far on the sacking of Philippe Clement, the appointment, interim appointment of Barry Ferguson, and a few other ex-players into the mix as well. We've not even got on to the weekend's action. I'm sure Celtic fans, you've got a few thoughts on that VAR call. We'll of course get on to that, but we've got to play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Roger Hannah, this is not going to be a substitute teacher type situation where you're going to get away with it. You are still on minus two, despite the fact that it is me in this chair.
Well, momentous times on Beat the Pundit, because I was here. Andy missed last Monday. Ross McCormack in, his first ever victory on Beat the Pundit. So we're living in momentous times.
So it's heads again?
It must have been, yeah. Yeah, it must have been.
All right, this coin.
It depends. I maybe do it a different way, though, do I?
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll see.
It's meant to be heads and tails. We'll work that out. Ross is going to be playing Beat the Pundit. Ross, have you played before?
I've not, no.
How do you fancy your chances against one of these two?
I fancy my chances against Andy, but I don't know about Roger.
Oh, minus two.
Andy's got 100% record this season.
Ah, Roger's a man. Roger's a man to beat, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right, let's see. We will flip the coin. Heads for Andy Halliday, tails for Roger Hanna. And it is Roger Hanna. You are up against. Of course, he starts on minus two. So you will get a bit of a head start, Ross. But we'll see how he gets on. We'll put some greatest hits radio in the ear of Roger Hanna so he can't hear us. Then he'll have his turn afterwards. So, of course, you haven't played before, Ross. 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can correctly. And remember, you can pass as well. That might help you out just to save a bit of time. Right, you ready to go?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. Name any of the previous clubs Barry Ferguson's managed.
Who
was the only player to score a double in the Scottish Premiership this weekend?
Elton Cabangu.
How many goals has Elton Cabangu scored for Hearts so far?
Seven.
True or false, it's been 7 years since Celtic and Rangers both lost a domestic match on the same day.
True.
Name any team to have won by more than two goals in the SPFL this weekend.
Ross County.
Okay, we will bring Roger Hanna back in. Can you hear us all right?
I've got you now, Andrew.
Good stuff. Same for you, 30 seconds on the clock. Let's do it. Name any of the previous clubs Barry Ferguson's managed.
Kelty Hearts.
Who was the only player to score a double in the Scottish Premiership this weekend?
Josh Campbell or Elton Cabangu.
How many goals has Elton Cabangu scored for Hearts this season? True or false, it's been 7 years since Celtic and Rangers both lost a domestic match on the same day.
True.
Name any team to have won by more than two goals in the SPFL this weekend.
Stranraer.
What number does Daizen Maeda wear for Celtic?
38.
How many league matches have Aberdeen won in 2025?
Two.
I think we have noticed that there was a mistake in there in the questions, but it's all right. We have got away with it. That's all right. We can judge it based on the correct answer rather than the one that's written down here. How do you think you got on, Ross?
I don't know. I think I might surprise myself.
Let's have a go then. Name any of the previous clubs Barry Ferguson has managed. You went for, was it Alloa you went for, Ross?
Alloa,
and Kelty Hearts for Roger. So it is technically one all, but Roger is still on minus one. Who was the only
minus
player? You're on minus one.
Oh, right,
now,
okay.
Because you've got one correct. Okay. Who was the only player to score a double in the Scottish Premiership this weekend? My paper says Josh Campbell, but of course Elton Cabangu did as well. Roger said Elton Cabangu, and so did Ross. So Ross stays two ahead. How many goals has Elton Cabangu scored for Hearts so far? You both said seven. You both got it correct. Ross, once again, remains two ahead. True or false, it's been 7 years since Celtic and Rangers both lost a domestic match on the same day. You both got it right. It stays two ahead to Ross. Name any team to have won by more than two goals in the SPFL this weekend. Ross didn't get it. Roger went from Stranraer. and Roger got it correct, so he pulls one back. Your other answer would have been Queen of the South. Roger
Wraith.
Got a couple. Wraith as well.
He won 2-0, didn't he?
More than two goals. Won by more than two goals.
There we go.
What number does Daizen Maeda wear for Celtic? 38 is correct. Roger got that one. Ross didn't get on to that question, so that draws it level.
Oh, he got one more.
How many league matches have Aberdeen won in 2025? It's two. It's the last two games. Roger nicks it. A 94th minute winner for Roger Hanna. And not only that, Roger.
You're on for the 10.
You're on for the 10.
Oh, how many was that?
So I tell you what, first of all, it's not a bad effort from Ross. Well, unlucky, done, Ross. Not bad for your first go. Definitely phone in again and try your luck, Ross, because that was, I think you would have beaten a few of the other pundits with that performance.
Answer three questions quicker.
Yeah, unlucky to Ross, but we can see if Roger, have you had the 10 this season?
Oh, I actually can't remember. Not sure.
Is it technically a 10 or is it an 8, really?
Well, there you go. Gordon Duncan would say it's an 8.
Yeah, we'll see. We might give you a 10.
Man.
You have three to go. Who lasted longer as Rangers manager? Philippe Clement or Mark Warburton?
Mark Warburton.
Philippe Clement, 1 year and 131 days. Mark Warburton. This also doesn't make sense either on my paper. We're going to have to get... Oh, no, sorry. 1 year and 240 days. Correct. Yes, Mark Warburton is longer. So you have 8 out of 8. Which SPFL team have the Wallace Monument on their badge?
Stirling Albion.
Stirling Albion is correct. This is a ridiculous question, by the way. There's so... No, in a way that you will get this because there is so many answers. Name any team in the Scottish Premiership that have a ball on their crest.
Oh, wow.
Have a ball on their crest?
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Kilmarnock.
You have Aberdeen.
Uh-huh.
Hearts.
Uh-huh.
Hibs.
Uh-huh.
Motherwell.
Uh-huh.
Rangers.
Uh-huh.
And Kilmarnock. Roger Hanna does the 10.
The squirrel puts his foot in the ball.
By the way, it's half the teams in the Scottish Premiership. 6 out of the 12. Anyway, Roger Hanna still.
Visions of that squirrel puts his foot in the ball.
Well done to Roger Hanna.
Thank
he
you.
gets the 10 and gets the win as well. Commiserations to Ross, the signed ball, we'll see in the studio. Let's not hang about though. Let's go back to the phones. William is a Rangers fan in Alloa. William, what are you making of everything that's been happening at Rangers?
I think it's completely not logical whatsoever to put in a manager who has almost no experience. He did well at Kelty Hearts, but they're a non-league team. When he was at Alloa, he struggled. So that's his experience, but now he finds himself as manager of Rangers. So no one really believes in Barry Ferguson. I was on the Rangers forums today. He was getting ridiculed. And as a Rangers supporter, I don't really believe in this football team. But, you know, who had it on their coupon that Celtic were going to lose and Rangers were going to lose at the weekend? Football is not so easy to predict. That's why we all love it. And this has the beginnings of a great story. You know, we're all familiar with the movie A Shot at Glory. Well, Barry Ferguson and his comrades have a shot at glory now. And they and the players have all got something in common that no one really believes in them. But I would imagine they believe in themselves.
So, tell you what, that turned round miraculously from William there. Yeah. I thought it was going to be all down in the dumps, but he's saying that, you know, you can never predict what's going to happen in football. It may well work out for Barry Ferguson and his staff.
Maybe Rangers offered it to Robert Duval first, I'm not sure, but it's not unprecedented. You know, one of the callers, William, said earlier on, spoke of the example of Neil Lennon getting handed the job in similar circumstances. You know, a former team captain, close links to the club, got the job on an interim basis when Tony Mowbray was sacked. English clubs have done it. You know, remember Roberto Di Matteo getting handed the reins at Chelsea and winning the Champions League. Ryan Giggs got it at Manchester United, if you remember. If you're looking closer at home, what about David Gray? You know, David Gray is a club legend.
He's got the hat-trick ball for the interims, isn't it?
Well, there you go. And has beaten Celtic at the weekend and has taken Hibs to the brink of European football. So it has been done before.
Is the difference maybe that William has pointed out that Barry Ferguson already has a track record in management with three clubs and he feels hasn't impressed in any of those roles? Does that make a difference compared to the examples that you're giving?
Listen, it possibly does. I made the point earlier, Barry might find it easier at Rangers because he's working with players on a similar level to he operated on as
a
player.
Is there a chance he maybe finds it harder, just given the added responsibility and the...
We'll soon find out.
That's very true. Very true.
Yeah, well, that's the thing I do agree on with William's point of the unpredictable nature. And I remember calls when it was Fleet Clement, I remember calls when it was Michael Beale, and so on and so forth. For any club that appoints a new manager, it doesn't matter your CV. You don't know if a manager's going to be successful or not. It's no different with Barry Ferguson and his team going in as interim head coaches. What I will say is, Roger touched on it at the top of the show, I don't feel it can be worse than what it's been over the last few weeks. I really don't. I felt like Queen's Park was the last straw. You know, they essentially got another week, and after the performance against St Mirren, Fleet Clement said it's the worst in his tenure at the football club. For me, it was the worst in 7 days, because Queen's Park, the one before, is ultimately what I thought was going to be the final straw. It was at the weekend.
William, is it a case of maybe this management, interim management team, needing a bit of patience?
I don't know if they'll get patience from the Rangers fans. The Rangers fans are very anxious, and that's why I just think anything could happen now. You know, that logically, I think it's likely that you'll see Celtic beat Rangers 6-0. But that's not how football works. You see the success with Xabi Alonso at Bayer Leverkusen. We can go back in time, look at Arrigo Sacchi at AC Milan. I really think, I wouldn't be surprised if Barry Ferguson is a success and he surprises us all. I think it's all about chemistry, the chemistry that he can form with his, you know, with Billy Dodds, with Alan McGregor. And I would just say to you guys on the panel, imagine you were having a dinner party, right? Would you rather have Philippe Clement come to your dinner party, or would you rather have Barry Ferguson, Alan McGregor, Billy Dodds and Neil McCann? And I think that's what these players need. These players need a bit of fun. They need to form bonds. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see something here, or if we see a great story. So as a Rangers fan, I still have a bit of hope in my heart. Logically, it's hard to conceive it. But listen, that's why we all love football, guys. Anything can happen.
William said that he doesn't feel that Barry Ferguson and his staff are going to get much patience. Will Patrick Stewart and the Rangers board, will they feel that appointing players that, you know, they think have credit in the bank with the Rangers fans is something that should give the management team patience?
100%, Andrew. Yeah, they
is that one of the main reasons for appointing them?
They, you know, if they had gone and got Joe Bloggs to take the team to the end of the season and they lose 1-0 at Kilmarnock on Wednesday night, then Joe Bloggs would have got it in the neck for the punters. If Barry Ferguson and his new management team lose at Kilmarnock on Wednesday night, they will get a bit more patience from the Rangers support. There will be an enormous pool of goodwill towards Ferguson, McGregor, Dodds, McCann, simply because of the things they won as players. You know, Barry Ferguson, as we said earlier on, was captain through times of success, triumphs with Rangers. Alan McGregor's won, goodness knows what he's won, as a Rangers player. I remember, you know, Neil McCann and Billy Dodds having great success back in the day under Dick Advocaat 25 years ago and more. So they've all been individually successful as players. They have brought success to the supporters, and the supporters will buy into it and give them a bit more leeway than they would if just a random manager had been brought in.
Speaking of patience, it's not an easy first game, is it? Away at Rugby Park on Wednesday night.
And it's not been an easy game for Rangers for a number of seasons now. So, listen, it's a baptism of fire, sorry, going into the game on Wednesday night on the old Astro at Rugby Park. But, listen, it's I'm not for 1 minute saying any situation at Rangers or Celtic is stress-free. But I think when pretty much the league's already written off, you can't win the League Cup, you're already out of the Scottish Cup. I don't think there's a whole load of pressure on Barry Ferguson and these men going into this job. I think the expectations are pretty much clear. Can you steady the ship? Can you improve players? Can you put us in a position where we can get the right man in the summer and do a job? And, you know, can you go around further in the Europa League? I don't think there's a whole load of expectations on them going into these 3 months.
By the time they kick off at 8 o'clock Wednesday night, they could be 16 points behind. Alec Ferguson couldn't turn around the season, never mind Barry Ferguson. So the supporters will acknowledge the problems at the club and will give Barry and his backroom team a bit more leeway.
We'll say thanks to William, and let's speak to Mark, who is in Giffnock. Mark, how are you?
Good evening, panel.
Hi, Mark.
First and foremost, a man's lost his job. Some of the vitriol online has been shocking to Clement.
Mark, are you at a rap concert?
Hold on one second.
Yeah, we'll just clear that up because I think he was being drowned out by whatever was going on. There we go, loud and clear, Mark.
Good man, good man. First and foremost, the vitriol to Clement is shambolic that we're getting online, so I want to wish him all the best. Guy was doing his best. He was in the wrong movie, the wrong job, but, you know, some of the vitriol, some of the comments online are shocking, horrible. So I want to say that, first and foremost, that needs to stop. That's not fair. So the guy has lost his job, so I want to wish him all the best. He's in the wrong job, and that's the reality. But we need to deal with the bigger picture. The bigger picture is the board. The club is gutted from top to bottom, because it really has been terrible. The whole club's been ran terribly. So we need to get that sorted. The board, if they're going to be selling up, let's get a move on. Let's get this happening. I heard somebody earlier on saying there's no rush here with the guys they've brought in, but there is a rush. The rush is that we need to be ready for the new season and we need to get moving. So I want to see the board now sell up and do what they're meant to be doing, which they can't talk about, apparently, confidentiality agreements. If it's Dave King selling, Douglas Park, George Letham, all of them, whoever, we need to get a move on because the club has been ran worse than an amateur team. Amateur teams at least are ran pretty well. So I know from my local team, Pollock. So, they need to run the club better, and we need to really see what's going to happen there. And as for the guys they've brought in, they've come in, it really isn't much of a talking point, to be honest. There's 11 league games. Let them do what they can do. I'm sure there'll be a pick-up in results because they'll hopefully get a lot more out of the players. Europe's a bonus if they can do something there. But, as I say, the bigger picture here is the board. And they've had some good managers. Van Bronckhorst, European final, wouldn't back Gerrard, didn't really back Clement. We really need to see that from the board. And let's not forget the shambles that Philip started with this year. We couldn't even play at Ibrox. So, you know, there's been huge problems. And we need to focus on the bigger picture here.
Yeah, I think, Roger, there was probably two big bits of news that Rangers fans have been waiting on, are waiting on. One of them was Philippe Clement and him no longer being the Rangers manager. The second is the news of the takeover, because that, how it's been talked about and the way the club has been run, Mark detailed a lot of it there, that a lot of Rangers fans feel that this could be transformational for the football club, and as much as they want to see stuff progress on the pitch, that progression off the pitch is maybe just as vital, if not more, for the long term.
Yeah, listen, it's funny, Andrew, because when I spoke to you at 2 o'clock or quarter to two on Saturday in the show for the team news from Ibrox, there was real positivity about the place because the interest from the 49ers Enterprises had come out, I think, late on Wednesday. There was people were talking about it. Dave King was talking about selling shares. There's other large shareholders likely to do business with the 49ers Enterprise. And I think the Rangers fans, as Mark was saying, they were getting excited that this could be transformational for the club. And 3 hours later, they've lost at home to St Mirren with a whimper. 24 hours after that, Philip Clement has left the building. Now his backroom staff have gone. Now there's an interim management team in. And all of that positivity that came at the end of last week with news of the 49ers Enterprises is just dissipated with that performance on Saturday. So Rangers need something to be able to cling on to. And they will, I think this deal will be done by the end of the season, but we're still only at the end of February. So it could be a long time before Mark and the other Rangers fans get that something. I don't know about San Francisco 49ers. That sounded like the Super Bowl halftime show behind Mark.
Yeah, we'll let Mark get back to 8 Mile, shall we?
That
and we will
give. I really enjoyed that.
Who was that?
I actually don't know. I couldn't quite make it out, but it was.
I thought that was brilliant.
The fact that Kendrick Lamar or whatever it was.
Maybe he was just wanting to build it up, give himself his own soundtrack. Wee bit of a hype anthem in the background to make his point. Don't mind it at all. Don't mind it, Mark. Thank you very much to him. We will take more of your calls and get a teaser set up for these two next.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
So, Susan Tate is the head of HR for this company.
She is.
A woman that Ewan no doubt knows very well and has had a lot of dealings with over the years.
I have never, ever using the toilet in this building or any place that I've worked.
I think the linesman has fallen back on a
to let VR look at that.
They've gone to the Vault of Staunch. John Brown. No, we're not getting him. No. What about who else have we got here? Barry Ferguson.
Check it out on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard YouTube channel, or get it where you get your podcasts now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yes, lots to talk about on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and you can get involved. 0141 951 1025. We will take a look at that Celtic Hibs game, which I think is a game that probably would have dominated a show on many other weeks, but the sacking of Philippe Clement and the hiring of Barry Ferguson on an interim basis has taken over things tonight. But we will get on to that after I set up a teaser for you two. Very topical, this one. Thanks to the Crazy Pony for sending this in. He says Rangers' new managerial team of Barry Ferguson, Alan McGregor, Billy Dodds and Neil McCann only played one game together for the club. A 6-0 Scottish Cup win over Forfar in 2002.
Station Park.
Can you name the other 10 players played for Rangers that day? So if you do the maths, that's 4. There's 10 more, so it includes players that came off the bench.
2002?
Yes.
Ferguson, McCann, Dodds and McGregor?
Yeah.
Nah.
So McLeish was the manager. If that's the case, how many more players you want?
10.
Right.
That might be a clue, by the way. If there's 4 of them and then 10 more, it might mean there was a substitute. Actually, I'm not sure it's more of a clue, but
a sub goalie. Is that what you're saying?
Okay, yeah.
Could be.
Kloss?
There we go. Stefan Kloss. Al McGregor came on as a substitute in that game.
Stephen Hughes.
Stephen Hughes, yes.
Chris Butt? No.
Not Chris Butt.
I've got a feeling that I covered this game.
Shout that.
De
Boer.
No. Neither Ronald or Frank.
It's Shota Arveladze.
Shota Arveladze, correct. You have 3-7 more to go, and we will get back to that very shortly. Let's go to the phones and speak to Colin, who's a Celtic fan in Airdrie. Colin, what have you got for us tonight?
Hi, how's it going?
Hi, Colin.
Hi, how you doing? Not bad. I wanted to talk about the second goal. And the TV coverage at the time had said that VAR used the 18-yard line camera. Now, we also seen on Sky, Newcastle Arsenal had a goal chopped off, and they'd done a piece where it showed you for an angle. If you look at it for an angle, it's always going to look like the ball's out. But if you need a bird's eye view for above the line to see that the curvature of the ball was actually still on the line. So, I mean, I'm not saying it was in, and I'm not saying it was out, but for that angle, it's completely inconclusive.
Yeah, it's a separate argument, isn't it, Roger? But whether the angle from the 18-yard line, whether a VAR is able to tell whether the ball was over the line or not.
Here's the thing. There's been a couple of these historically, and Colin's right, Newcastle Arsenal was a famous one, Japan, Spain at the World Cup was a famous one as well. And you can only decide 100% correctly, as Colin says, with a bird's eye view, or goal line technologies they've got in England. We don't have it in Scotland. Therefore, how on earth can Alan Muir, the VAR, and his assistant VAR overturn the decision? Now, our dear friend Gordon Duncan does regular shows with Willie Collum, and I will be fascinated to hear Willie Collum's take on this, because unless there is some image that the SFA possess that is not yet in the public domain, I cannot understand how the decision can be overturned. Now, Stephen McLean, the referee, and that linesman at Easter Road, if they say no goal, then I don't think Alan Muir could have overturned that either, because I have not seen a definitive image that tells me the ball was in or the ball was out. And if Alan Muir has seen a definitive image, I think it's about time the SFA published it.
I think Colin answered it perfectly. He says he doesn't know if it's in or out. We are sitting here having seen multiple angles, yeah, and we don't know if factually it's in or out. So, again, I always talk about this clear and obvious error stigma that's held over referees when they make on-field decisions. I think if you can't show factually that it's out, I don't think it's then enough to overrule the linesman's decision. I think he had a decent enough view. Don't get me wrong, you know, Colin pointed out the 18-yard camera. It looks as if it could be out, but it's not factual, so I don't think you can then overturn the linesman's decision.
Because to overturn it, Roger, you need that conclusive evidence, and there may be that conclusive evidence out there somewhere that the Scottish FA have that we haven't seen yet. But for the time being, where we haven't seen it, and the images that we have seen, and some people will tell you it was out, some people will tell you it was in, a lot of people will say they don't have a clue. It's pretty tough to work out why VAR would have intervened if those images that we've seen are the ones that Alan Muir is basing his overturn on.
Listen, I don't understand it. I don't understand it at all. Alan Muir, of course, was involved in the League Cup final. If you remember, the decision then was taken to task by Willie Collum afterwards, was given big games again shortly afterwards. Hibs Celtic, of course, is a big game, one of the biggest games in our calendar, as you mentioned on the show on Saturday, Andrew. So, to give him the benefit of the doubt, you would think he has seen an image that we have not seen to conclusively tell us the ball was out of play. So until we see that, we need to give him the benefit of the doubt. But from what I've seen so far, the goal should have stood, because there is nothing that I've seen that would contradict the decision that Stephen McLean and the linesman made.
I've seen people tweeting them out over the last couple of days, Andy, and there are good examples. The Newcastle Arsenal one, I think Sky Sports did a section with Gary Neville where they had him standing down on the touchline. He had the ball in one position. They're showing it from different camera angles. You've seen the one with Japan in the World Cup. I think Daizen Maeda is actually in one of the photos sliding in at one point. That it's just so hard to tell in these scenarios from the naked eye if you don't have, you know, multiple angles. And because of how we operate VAR in Scotland, and it's not the most expensive technology that we use up here, so we don't have all the cameras and all the angles and the goal line technology, that it does make it just quite hard to tell.
Yeah, especially where ever since they changed the rule that, you know, any part of the overhanging ball, it makes it even more difficult. So and listen, I must say, I'd be disappointed in either side of the fence, because I actually think if I was a Hibs player or a Hibs fan and you see that 18-yard angle, you're like, that looks out.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, if the linesman's made the decision from his view and you can't factually prove that the ball is indeed out of play, I don't think it's enough to overrule it.
I assume it will come out in time, Colin, but are you quite interested to see, you know, the process that went on, what the angles that were used were by Alan Muir?
Oh, definitely. I think for transparency, you need to know how he's came to his decision. And, you know, they said at the time it was the 18-yard line camera.
Yeah, I think the Scottish FA have come out and said that was the angle that was used.
I know, and Andy's right. If it's not a clear and obvious error, I don't see why he's getting involved at all. I think you really need to start calling into question Alan Muir's competency. You know,
that's the thing. As I say, we haven't seen the conclusive evidence. There may well be that out there. You know, but one thing the SFA have been good at this season is that transparency. People may not agree with all the decisions, but Willie Collum has made sure to try and change that in Scottish football and try and make sure that they are more transparent with some of the decisions that are made.
100%. I think that's one of the greatest benefits of this season. Willie Collum getting into that job and opening up lines of communication. It's made the refereeing department seem more human. I've really enjoyed Willie Collum's shows with Gordon Duncan, and he tells it how it is. And if mistakes are made, he owns up to those mistakes. You know, he called out Alan Muir and Frank Connor for the error in the VAR room at the League Cup final. He very quickly reinstated them to big games. And I would hope that Alan Muir does have some conclusive images that show that he made the correct decision, because it's going to be very embarrassing for Willie Collum and the SFA if, for the second time in 2 months, they have to go up and hold their hands up to a very, very high profile error in a very high profile game.
Well, thanks to Colin. Andy, as a Celtic fan in Royston, Andy, what have you made of it?
Andrew, I completely agree with Colin and the both of the guys. For me, it's just the person on VAR has made a call that isn't in his scope. I know the guys are saying it needs evidence, but if he's going with the 18-yard line camera, they're never going to get conclusive evidence. So he's got involved with something
there's no any scope. I made a joke the day and I said that it's like a tennis umpire getting a point against a player because he didn't like his socks. It's completely out of scope.
Colin, I think it is, sorry, Andy, I think it is in the remit of the VAR to be able to check whether the ball is in or out. I think the complication is just whether he is able to tell from that angle, because there will be some occasions where the ball will be clearly out and the images will be able to prove that, and maybe the officials on the pitch haven't given it. But is the case with this one just more that it is so tight that it is hard to tell from the images, and that's where the questions are coming from?
You've said that. I didn't realise that. I thought in the back of my mind, I thought that because we didn't have the footage on the line, that then for those types of decisions they couldn't get involved. But with this one, it's, I mean, as you say, if he's got an angle that conclusively proves it, but because it's so close and they talk about that whole circumference thing, it's impossible to prove that. So it didn't matter that it was, I mean, if you're saying it's the same guy that should have given the penalty for Rangers that people may do it, then Wally Collins has been very, very good and very transparent. But the fact is, it's all very well and good coming on and saying that we apologise, we got it wrong. There's got to be some sort of punishment for the same person that got it wrong twice.
Yeah, that's another thing that Willie Collum has brought in this season. Well, it has been there in Scottish football, but Willie Collum has held referees, officials accountable at times. He says he's not going to come out and shout about it and say when referees have been demoted or when they're not going to get games for certain weekends, but it is something that he is keen to do. But just on that point, Roger, there will be times, or there will certainly have been times, where VARs will be able to check whether the ball is out of play, and sometimes it will be quite clear and their involvement is absolutely fine and there'll be no question marks over it whatsoever. But this occasion just is different, because from the images that we've seen, the images that were on Premier Sports at the weekend, you know, there's so much debate about it that it leaves it open for question.
I actually hope that at the tail end of the week or whenever it is, Willie Collum can come out and give us a conclusive image that shows the ball is out and Alan Muir got it correct. Because if they don't have that conclusive image, I'm not sure how they talk their way out this one, Andrew.
Well, that's you talked about hoping to see a conclusive image. I'm just looking forward to the explanation and how they came to the decision, because, again, seeing the angles that we've seen the 18-yard box camera angle magnified times 10, which I don't even know if they do in VAR. Again, for me, it's not conclusive, so I'd be very interested to hear the explanation of all and how they came to their decision.
And the worst of it all is, it ensured that Hugh Keevan's half-time prediction was correct, that Celtic wouldn't come back and get a point.
It's a first for everything.
Yeah.
Andy, I was going to say, just does the timing of it make it more frustrating, the fact that it would have got Celtic back on level terms, it would have been 2-2, there was a chance for Celtic to either get a point, maybe push for all 3 points at that time in the game?
Well, absolutely it does. But listen, the Hibs were very, very good in the first half. And a broader point, if you've got time, I think for me, with the changes that were made at half-time, I mean, I've went on about Adam Eder in the past on the programme. I don't like to keep going on about the big guy, but see if you're in any team, right? I'm just going to talk about the last three games, right? We're playing against Munich at Celtic Park for 60 minutes, he's on the pitch. We don't touch them. Eder goes in through the middle for 30 minutes and it turns around. We then go to Germany. We're in the game right up to 60 minutes. I know Eder was involved in the goal when he first came on, but I think it was a 80-20 favour and Maida made it his ball for the pass. But then we just fell out of the game. On Saturday he plays 45 minutes, we're not at the races, it comes off. I think, to be honest with you, I think what's shown in the last couple of weeks is we've got a very, very good 11, but I don't know whether or not our squad's strong enough to progress further in Europe next year. And I just hope with Tierney coming in, we can add another couple and we'll get a right go. But listen, would Celtic want to win the game? Maybe. Did Hibs do enough in the first half to win the game? Probably. They've done really well, and a lot gets taken away with teams when they beat Celtic. The Hibs were great, but I think it was just that if Alan Muir doesn't come out with that proof, I wonder what will happen, because it's certainly inconclusive and it's disappointing that they're going to make decisions, because it's a precedent that's been set. You know, it's very disappointing.
Yeah, just in terms of Andy's point on Celtic squad depth, I think it had been said at the start of the season that Celtic had a very good squad depth. I wonder if Kyogo leaving and Jota coming back in, just because there isn't that obvious backup up front, which I know Daizen Maeda is there, and also Paulo Bernardo's been injured for a few weeks, which maybe makes the midfield look a bit lighter. The Celtic squad just maybe has looked lighter over the past couple of weeks than it did earlier in the season.
Without doubt it has. You see the bench, you know, there's been a couple of times young Dane Murray and Jude Bonner have been in the bench. I think earlier in the season Francis Turley as well was there. I think there will be an investment again in the summer. You know, Kieran Tierney's coming back. Wouldn't surprise me, by the way, if Jeffrey Schlupp became a permanent addition, because Greg Taylor, I think, will leave the club and you'll need two left-backs next season. I think Celtic are probably still a centre-back shy of where they want to be. Navrotki, I think, will leave. Lagerbielk will leave permanently, I think, in the summer. So I think they would like another centre-back. They are light in midfield, and the Bernardo injury has highlighted that. You know, Odin Thiago Holm is away. I think he could leave permanently as well. So I think there will be midfield additions. And, you know, Celtic always sign a winger in every window. There'll be one of them will come in the summer as well, and a striker will come, because for me, Maeda is now the first choice striker. Ida is the second choice striker. But Brendan Rodgers will want to go with three.
Well, thank you to Andy on the line. Certainly not the last we'll have heard of that VAR intervention, but we've got to get on with this teaser. Rangers' new managerial team of Barry Ferguson, Alan McGregor, Billy Dodds and Neil McCann only played one game together for the club. 6-0 win over Forfar in 2002. Can you name the 10 other players that featured that day? So far you have Stefan Kloss, Stephen Hughes, Shota Arveladze.
Which shape are we going here? Is that 4-4-2 we're going
for?
4-3-3. Right, we'll start with the right back. Maurice Ross.
Maurice Ross, correct.
Beautiful. Was one of them at Ibrox doing a half time draw on Saturday? Lorenzo Amoruso.
Lorenzo Amoruso, correct.
I'm going to shift over to the left back, which I'm between two.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go Arthur Newman.
Arthur Newman is correct. We'll get more answers after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It has absolutely flown in. Plenty of calls on the sacking of Philippe Clement, the appointment of interim boss Barry Ferguson at Ibrox. A bit of chat about that VAR intervention between Hibs and Celtic yesterday, and a bit of work for Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday to do on this teaser. Rangers' new managerial team of Barry Ferguson, Alan McGregor, Billy Dodds and Neil McCann only played one game together for the club. A 6-0 Scottish Cup win over Forfar in 2002. Name the 10 other players that were involved. So far you have Stefan Kloss, Maurice Ross, Lorenzo Amoruso, Arthur Newman, Stephen Hughes and Shota Arveladze.
Tony Vidmar.
Tony Vidmar, correct.
Good job. Kanchelskis.
Andrei Kanchelskis, right. We will leave that there. A couple more to get. We'll get those at the end of the show and after we speak to Craig in Kenning Park. Craig, how are you?
Aye, very good, very good. Aye, we've got more upbeat today with Fergie and that coming back in the door. So.
You pleased? Pleased with those appointments?
Aye, I'm off. One thing that I'm a wee bit confused about is I've heard whispers that our assistant manager was just gave a 3-year deal to is very, very high profile and was getting shaped to be the next kind of manager, much in the Ronnie Dyer way at Celtic. It just seems strange that we've kept him hanging about, but can he really moan? If you're not prepared to run through brick walls for Fergie, Griggsy, Neil McCann, then you're not prepared to date for him, do you know what I mean? So I was on the phone a while ago and I said about take the bear out of the fight and the fight out of the bear. But
oh, was that you? I remember, Craig, I remember.
And you think you ridiculed me, but
I did. I most certainly did not.
You're about to see why I was saying that.
Just on that point of Issemi Shirai, who continues on at Rangers, I suppose some of it comes down to whether that was a board appointment, whether that was a Philippe Clement specifically chosen appointment, but does it make sense, Roger, that he's still in at Rangers given the fact that he was only brought to the club last month?
Listen, I genuinely don't know. I mean, perhaps it was a Niels Koppen appointment, you know, these specific roles and responsibilities within there. They wanted to keep him on. I really don't know why the decision was taken. They maybe just wanted a little bit of continuity from what's gone before, given that everyone else has been emptied out the building in the last 24 hours, Andrew. So it'll be interesting to see the dynamic, how he works. The four who have come in, Ferguson, Dodds, McCann, McGregor, we'll all be friends, they're all former teammates, as we're saying tonight. They will all know each other well, but they can maybe lean on Shirai just to get a little bit of background as to what's been going on in the football department.
I suppose you can spin it two ways, Andy. You can say that continuity might help, or some people might think a completely clean slate might be needed and the old regime needs to be completely packed out and put away, and it's maybe not helpful having someone that was there previously.
Yeah, well, I'm on the side I don't understand why the appointment was made. I understand that Fluke Clement obviously lost a member of staff. They wanted them to be replaced. But I think when Fluke Clement was in the process of being given vote of confidence, you know, everyone felt as if his days were numbered at the club. I think it was very surprising he was allowed to bring in another member of staff. And listen, Shirai could be brilliant. He could be a brilliant coach, and that's the reason why he's staying. But I've no doubt that whoever the next permanent manager is going to be come past the summer, he's going to want to bring in his own assistant manager, his own first team coach. So again, it was just part of, in my opinion, a poor decision that's been made within the club over the last few months or so. But the fact of the matter is, he's here now. He's part of the interim team from now to the end of the season, and good luck to him.
It's quite a strange position for him to be in, isn't it, Roger? You come in as the assistant manager to someone who doesn't last the next month, essentially, and then all of a sudden you've got a brand new coaching team around you.
Yeah, I think he'll wonder what is going on tonight. There's no any doubt about that. It makes you wonder, though, if it was a Neil Copping appointment rather than a Philippe Clement appointment, and he is in to do a certain job behind the scenes there, and he'll continue with that job. I can't imagine him having a leading role in this new look management structure. I think it's only natural that Barry will fall back probably on Billy Dodds and Neil McCann before he falls back on someone he doesn't really know. But listen, the guy's got a contract, he's staying on, he will be doing his best, and I'm just going to be fascinated to see that, you know, the league's gone, Rangers aren't going to win anything, but I'll be fascinated to see how these players, the majority of whom, Andrew, in flashes, look good. I'll be fascinated to see if Barry Ferguson can get more out of them on a consistent basis than Philippe Clement did.
What is it that's given you the positivity, Craig, about the new staff? Is it the fact just that Philippe Clement's gone and there's something new, or do you feel that the guys that have been chosen can really make a difference between now and the summer?
Bit of both. I mean, I said before about Alec Gray being in the dressing room, but can Alec Gray's obviously away now. But obviously, if you're not prepared to run through a brick wall for Fergie, then there's no point of being there, do you know what I mean? You'd still be walking about with their chest puffed, like wee bulldogs ready to go, do you know what I mean? So it's at least there will be, I keep pardoning on, but there will be fight there, do you know what I mean? They know what it means to put on that blazer, do you know what I mean?
There does need to be that balance though, Andy, because it can't all just be passion and fight. There does need to be that shape and those, because Philippe Clement, it was levelled at him so many times that he didn't have a distinct style of play and supporters didn't really know what he was doing. So there can be all that passion and all that fight, but there needs to be that side of it as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Passion, work rate, all extremely important. Non-negotiables, as I'll call them. But like you said, style, in possession, out of possession, quality, that's something that the interim staff need to get out of these players as well. And listen, I don't know how familiar Hamza Egerman is to Barry Ferguson. He's passed at Rangers, but he might get a fright or two if he misplaces a pass in training, that's for sure.
He might be one of the ones that's okay. He did he know Sammy Chirai from his time in Morocco's under-23s?
Yeah, but listen, you know, I know the point of making running through brick walls for Barry Ferguson. Nowadays, there needs to be more to it. But you're bringing in two experienced coaches in Billy Dodds. You know, I mentioned he took Inverness to the cup final a couple of years ago. He was involved with Queen of the South when they were in the cup final against Rangers 17 years ago. So, you know, these are guys with an awful lot of coaching experience behind them. Neil McCann, as you know, was at Dundee. He's had loads of other coaching experience. He sort of developed as a coach at Hearts as well. These guys know what they're doing. They know how to set up a team. So it'll be, honestly, I'll be really interested when we see that team coming out at 6:45 on Wednesday night, the formation, the personnel, who's in, who's out, what changes are made, and how they perform at Kilmarnock, because it's not an easy place to go for Rangers.
I think we've got some work to do on this teaser before we finish up. Thank you to Craig and Kenning Park. Can you name all the players that were involved in the last match that Alan McGregor, Barry Ferguson, Billy Dodds and Neil McCann played together for Rangers? You have Stefan Kloss, Maurice Ross, Lorenzo Amoruso, Tony Vidmar, Arthur Newman, Andrei Kanchelskis, Stephen Hughes, Shota Arveladze. Two more to go.
That's a 4-4-2 starting 11 there we've got.
Right, subs in.
Yeah.
I'm going to go...
attackers.
Christian Nerlinger.
No. You do have all three of the substitutes already, though.
Oh.
Claudio Caniggia?
No.
Russell Latipi?
Russell Latipi, correct. Sure. It was Maurice Ross that came on for this player.
Oh, Rixon.
Fernando Rixon. Beautiful. Is correct. Thank you to Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday, and thank you for all your calls and tweets tonight. A very, very busy show, but not to worry, we'll be back tomorrow. Gordon DL and Ross McCormack in the studio from 6 o'clock, and we'll be looking ahead to Celtic against Aberdeen, and plenty more reaction to what is going on at Rangers as well.